Hi, this is Kim of Kim Turner LLC. Our mission is to provide immersive, relevant training and consulting for the next generation of 911. Our instructors and consultants are current industry leaders and practitioners with over 360 years of combined experience in the field or under the headset. We are results driven. So if you're ready to elevate your training personally, for your department, or for your region, look us up online, www.thekimturner.com. I look forward to hearing from you.
This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning, this episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good afternoon. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 202 of Within the Trenches, a podcast based on the experience of being a 911 dispatcher. So we're recording live from the Convention Center here in Nashville, Tennessee, for the 2018 National NENA Conference. And I was here probably 4 years ago now, I think. Yeah, 4 years ago. It was my first full year with InDigital. I was just out of dispatch, and I was in the podcast zone downstairs. But now I am upstairs, I believe on the second floor by the Connection Lounge, and I'm literally just lounging on a couch here. And we're about to get this started. This episode is sponsored by Kim Turner LLC. Make sure to check them out for professional dispatch training for the next generation of 911. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, as well as Instagram, and thekimturner.com. And we're also sponsored by Rapid SOS. So make sure to check them out. Again, they are on Facebook and Twitter and rapidsos.com. A lot of great things have been announced this past week here at the conference with their integration with Apple and bringing emergency services, the best location, accurate location that you can get out there. So make sure to check them out. They're online. And as always, this episode is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. And my guest today is Morgan, and she's a dispatcher and public relations officer with Gasconade Central. Yes, I got it. Out of Missouri. And she is also one of the Gold Line Scholarship winners here at the conference. How's it going?
It's going really great.
Awesome. So when did you get here exactly?
I got here late Saturday night and had class Sunday morning.
How long was your drive?
It was a 6-hour drive.
Oh, man. And you said you got here at night or in the...
Yeah, we got here about 10 o'clock at night. And then, of course, we forgot to stop for dinner. So we had to get dinner and then didn't get to bed until probably about 1 o'clock.
So you were going straight on. You guys didn't even want to stop.
Nope. We wanted to just get here and
get settled. I'm the exact same way. Whenever my family and I go on a trip somewhere, I tell them, you guys better go to the bathroom now, because unless you really need to go to the bathroom or something, we're not going to stop. Well, aren't we going to stop to eat? Well, yeah, but I'm going to drive as far as I can, and then we'll stop somewhere. I don't want to stop. I want to go, and I want to get there, because then it takes way too long.
Me either. Stopped 2 times on the way here, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, hey, well done.
Yeah,
I think on my drive over here, I probably stopped probably about the same. It was for gas and I think just something to munch on, but it wasn't much.
Yeah.
See, I stopped to eat. You guys didn't. You Iron Man'd it all the way through, so well done.
Yeah.
So have you been enjoying yourself here so far? Is this your first national conference?
Yeah, this is my first national conference, and actually that's one of the requirements to apply for the Gold Light Scholarship is to be a first-timer at the conference.
Very nice. Okay. Yeah, and in the opening session, they had people. Did you guys raise your hands or did you stand up? I don't remember.
Stand up.
Okay. And there were a lot of first timers. So
yeah, there were.
Yeah, that is really cool to see that. So there's a lot more, and it seems to have changed since when I was in dispatch. It sounds like it was many moons ago that I was in dispatch. It's only going to be 5 years, but it seems like forever ago. But there wasn't a lot of dispatchers that were coming to national conferences and stuff, because there's a lot of dispatch centers that don't have the money to send them. So with Nina having the scholarship and everything, that's really good to be able to do that.
Yeah, and that's the same way we wouldn't have, I wouldn't have been able to come to this had I not won the scholarship. It was just kind of by chance that I came across it on the Nina website, filled it out, and then I got the email that I won, and then we still had to go through the struggles of trying to find people to fill shifts because being short-staffed, but thankfully we were able to make it work.
Really? Your dispatch center is short-staffed?
Oh, like most dispatch centers are.
Right.
I envy the ones that are like, oh, we're fully staffed, have been for the past, like, 3 years.
That is very rare to find that.
It really seems, is. Yeah. Sad.
It is.
It's such a high-stress job to not be able to take any time off because of being short-staffed. It's really hard.
Well, what are some of the things that you've learned so far this week that you're going to end up taking back, not only for yourself, but for your center to share?
Well, I've definitely learned a lot about how to use social media to influence the public and reach out and teach them about what 911 is. And especially with text to 911, I'm looking forward to being able to push that out to the public. We've had the system in place for a while now, but we haven't really advertised it much.
Right.
So now that I have these tools, I'm excited to be able to do that.
That's great. Which class did you go to, if you don't mind me asking?
It was the Educating Your Community About Text to 911 class.
Oh, awesome. So was that today or was that earlier today?
Yeah, that was from 10 to 11 today.
Nice. So then was the instructor Leah Horacek?
No, it was Megan Stapleton.
Megan Stapleton. Okay. I think there were three of them at almost the same time that had social media that was going on. Actually, you know what? The one that I was talking about with Leah, I think hers was at 8:45. It was during the same time
my session was going on. Yeah, it was social media and the PSAP strategies for success class.
She is a good friend of mine, and she is funny as hell.
She put on a really good class.
Excellent.
Rabba told me to go to your class, and then I was like, well, I had this plan to go to this one, so I figured
I'm glad you went
talking
to
you today. And
yes. Good. Yeah, because we did something on text to 911 where we... Rob and I end up, we act out these real text to 911 sessions, because the whole point of the class is to let people know that doing text from 911 is not as big of a deal as they think it's going to be, because a lot of people are scared that they're going to be inundated with text sessions over and over and over and over, and it's really not that way. And the sessions that come in, a lot of them that we put out there, except for maybe one or two, are actually some pretty funny ones. So he does voices for every texter, and then I play dispatch, of course.
But, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good class, but I'm glad you went to Leah's because she puts on a really good one on social
media. Yeah, I figured since there was that one and then there was the text 911 later in the day, she kind of touched on a lot of the same. Megan was kind of talking about how it's not as big of a deal as people think it's going to be.
Right.
And I agree. We actually spoke with the high school in our town about text to 911 kind of as a soft launch type of situation, letting them know that this is available and just marketing it towards the one group of people. And in the presentation, I let them know, you know, don't test it, don't just text just because, oh, hey, that's cool, I'm going to send a text message.
Right, exactly.
And
for those listening, that's something to remember there.
Yeah, exactly. Luckily, we didn't have a bunch of random texts coming in. We've actually only had a couple of real text 911 situations, and one of them was from a middle school aged girl, and that I don't think that she had any way of knowing yet. Mm-hmm. So the word's starting to spread.
Good, that is very good, because there's in the state of Indiana we have a statewide deployment there, and there are still people that I talk to if I'm just going to get my hair cut and stuff, and they ask what I do, and I tell them, they'll say we have text to 911 available here in the state? And I say, yeah, it's been available since like 2013 for us.
Yeah.
And they'll say, oh, where is it advertised anywhere? It's like, yeah, there's a billboard down the street that says
funny.
It.
That's
yeah,
funny.
So it's good that people are starting to pay attention to it a lot more. So that's good. You're here this week, you're attending classes and learning a lot of stuff, and it'll be stuff that will help you and everyone else as a whole. But let's go back really quick, because you said that you've been dispatching for about 2 years now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So how did you get into dispatching to begin with? Did you have anyone, like, did you have family in public safety?
Yeah, actually, I grew up, my dad was the chief of the local volunteer fire department.
Oh, cool.
So it kind of just started out with, I was really interested in first responders mm-hmm. in general. And then when I found out that the dispatch center was hiring, I was like, well, I may as well apply. I have a pretty good reference to get me into that position. Yeah. And luckily, I was really able to catch on very quickly on the EMS, fire, and police side of it, mainly EMS and fire, because my dad's also a paramedic. So I knew a lot of the medical lingo that went along with that.
So did you do a lot of sit-alongs or ride-alongs or anything? Seeing how your dad comes from that, no ride-alongs at all.
Well, I mean, aside of being in his personal vehicle when he gets a call and he turns on his little
And well, that's probably still pretty cool anyway.
Oh, yeah, it's so cool. I mean, being in the passenger seat of a vehicle responding to an emergency call really just gets your heart pumping and makes you want to be involved and be able to make a difference that obviously they all are.
Right. So then being in there with your dad when that stuff happens, so then you get to hear the radio traffic going back and forth then, and then piques the interest.
Yeah.
And then, so did you ever go into dispatch at any time and just kind of sit and watch them? Or did you just know, like, I want to do this. This is something that I want to do.
Well, I mean, it wasn't really something that I knew I wanted to do until I applied just because I needed a job.
Right.
It sounded like it might be something I was interested in. I got in there and I just really took to it. And it's been something that I've become very passionate about since getting into the center.
Nice. That is excellent. So what was it like for you then? I mean, so you go in and there's no sit-along, but you go in and you have your interview. I mean, what was your interview like? Was there like a panel of people, or did you just meet with one person?
I met with the director and deputy director of the center, and they basically just had a casual conversation just like me and you were doing and got to know each other, had obviously the main questions that you'd ask in an interview. And before that, we had a testing to see how well you could multitask, how quickly you could type, if you could listen and type at the same time, listen to multiple calls happening, pick out as much information as you can, because sometimes you're in a very fast-paced environment where you have to be able to hear them name off the vehicle color and description and anything else that might be being said in the background that's important information.
Right. And then can you also try to eat at the same time as you're working? And
thank goodness that was not a task that was tested during the tasting phase of the application process.
As all dispatchers know, we don't always get that food in there. And if we are trying to eat or something during that time, we're like in squirrel mode where you got it packed in your cheeks and waiting for a moment to swallow.
Even in our area, we get on those really long calls. It's a rural area. So if it's a long response time, half the time we're muting ourselves and eating as we're on the 911 call, because we don't want to disconnect from the person.
Oh, man, I remember doing that a few times. Or it would be a call where I could put them on hold for just a moment because they, you know, everything was fine at the residence. Like, I'm going to put you on hold for just one moment, okay? And put them on hold and swallow whatever, chew or swallow whatever I had in my mouth at the time. And then, okay, is everything all right? Yeah, we're good. Still the same. All right, cool. That piece of soggy sandwich was great.
Right.
How about your training? What was your training like? So you were in there. So it's only been 2 years then that you've been there. It's 2018. So 2016. What all are you training on? I mean, you've got probably several monitors that you're looking at. And this is to paint a picture for those in the public who don't know what a dispatch console looks like. So can you kind of describe what your console looks like? You go to sit down, and what are you looking at when you sit down?
Well, when we sit down, when I first started, we had a smaller setup, and we weren't able to leave our station because we actually had an umbilical cord that we were attached to the station listening into our trainer.
The dreaded umbilical cord.
Yes. Now that at our new center, we just got a new one last summer, which was really awesome.
Uh-huh.
All of the trainees are pretty privileged. They get a second butt that they can connect to and listen in, and their trainer can also be connected into the same station. So
if anything goes wrong, they can cut off the mute button. Yes, the mute button.
They're able to mute themselves, but they can interject at any point to
gotcha
to handle the situation differently here.
Right. So we had something similar where we had the two connections on either side of the console. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, you've got the supervisor, you've got the trainee, and or the trainer rather, and the trainee, and you're just listening. And then you click if you want to jump in or something, or they click in to jump in, however it works. Ours would mess up sometimes, and if we plugged it in upside down, it would key up the radio that would go out to fire an EMS.
Ours keys up just briefly as soon as you plug it in.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why it does that. We must have a similar setup or something because ours did the same thing, and we would always tell the person, don't say anything yet. Hold on a minute. We would plug in and make sure that it didn't get stuck, because there were a few times where we would go to plug in and it would get stuck and we wouldn't be paying attention and we would be just talking about whatever or myself. I would swear or something it would go over. Mics. Yeah. Open mic.
Dangerous. So, area there. Yeah.
So you've got your umbilical cord and how many screens are you looking at?
Our dispatch center has 4 screens. Mm-hmm. So we have a screen for mules, and also our text to 911, our CAD system, our phones. This happened the other day too. Oh, our radios.
Oh, good. You've got radios.
Yes, we've got radios. I did the same thing yesterday. I was like, man, what is on our 4th screen?
That's funny. Yeah, because you don't really think about it. I mean, you've got the microphone and everything there, and you got to key up on it. But we had it on our screen as well.
We had our radio screen.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how long did it take to get through training then? Because for myself, when I very first started, it was pretty much I go in, watch my trainer take a phone call, and he said, all right, now it's your turn. And I didn't believe him at first, but he was dead serious. I took the next call. Luckily, it wasn't anything anything crazy. It was I think it was a wrong. They dialed 911 on accident or something, but.
Well, we're attempting to implement a new training into place right now. We're trying to do more call taking first, admin lines only, and then kind of progress to 911 calls before ever getting into the dispatch side of it, because a lot of the trainees that have been coming in have been overwhelmed by just immediately being pushed into it, and they're like, okay, this is all cool and all, but I don't know what I'm doing.
Right,
so,
yeah.
We're attempting to change that so that people are learning at a more basic level first, so that they are really good at call taking instead of just have a basic knowledge on all levels.
Right.
They have an in-depth knowledge at each level before being released on their own.
That's the way to do it, because you've got people sometimes, at least just from my experience, that go in, they think they've got it. And then, they're memorizing some of the basic stuff, but then they get to phones and they haven't done anything with phones.
Yeah.
They start taking the non-emergency calls, which is good. But sometimes you've got some emergencies that come in on the non-emergency line and then like that.
Exactly.
Shit can happen and they freeze up. Yeah. And I've had a few people that I worked with where they froze up and they said, nope, this is not for me.
Yeah, I've so far been involved in just a couple of people's training, but they actually made me one person's trainer, and that exact same thing happened to him. He answered a 911 call, and it was a woman saying that she was afraid her son was dead, and he couldn't get a location, and he just immediately froze up as soon as she was hysterical, obviously.
Right.
And he froze up, and I don't think he worked another shift after that, honestly. He's like, this isn't for me. I can't handle that. And
wow.
It was
just too sometimes
much.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Man. So how big is your agency?
We have 12 full-time dispatchers. Right now we're at 11, so we're just a little short staffed, but don't really have any part-timers to fill shifts either. Mm-hmm. So without overtime, there's no real way to get off.
What type of shifts do you work then?
We work 12-hour shifts.
12 hours?
We switch every 2 months from nights to days. And,
what?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So we work 7A to 7P, and then the opposite shift works 7P to 7A, and then we switch in 2 months. And
oh, man, that's crazy. Some of the people that I used to work with would not like that at all. I don't think I would like that. So more power to you to being able to do it. When I first started out dispatching, we actually switched. We were only 8 hours and we switched every 2 weeks. So it was 6A to 2P, then 2P to 10P, and then it was 10 to 6. 10 to 6, yeah, 10 to 6. And that midnight shift, you had to work at 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was morning, mids, then midnights, and then you worked an extra of midnights, and then you went right to mornings.
Really?
Yeah. It was...
That doesn't sound that...
No, but
worse.
It was a small police department, though, so it was all right, yeah. Because... I remember going in there one night, or right before my shift was starting, and the chief of police, I said, "Chief Bird, is it all right if I bring in my PlayStation?" And he goes, "Are you serious?" And I wasn't. I was joking with him. I just wanted to see what he would say. And I said, "Well, sir, you know, working midnight shift and stuff, I kind of have to stay awake, you know? You know, I got to be able to stay awake. Other than just drinking coffee or trying to watch the news or something." And he goes, "You know what? You're right. Yeah, go ahead, bring it in." So he allowed me to bring in a video game system.
That's cool.
But it was also just a small police department. You know, 8 hour shifts. I think we had a total of maybe three or four dispatchers. And then sometimes the officers would fill in, but it was pretty small. But then when I moved on when I moved back home to Michigan, then it was 12 hours, and I was working 4:30 in the afternoon to 4:30 in the morning.
That's an interesting shift.
Yes. So we were 12 hours, but I think the worst part, though, was that I lived about 45 minutes away from dispatch.
Oh, yeah. That extends it out
It would be about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would kill a Red Bull because I would go home at 4:30, and I would be, like, dozing off.
Mm-hmm.
Driving home.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was horrible. You know, I'd get that tunnel vision, and before you know it, you're halfway home and you're thinking, how did I get here? How did I get to this area? And so I would have to drink a Red Bull just so I could stay awake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked. But the way my wife put it, ignorance is bliss. We don't want to know what's going on in the same county that we're living in if we were working in it as
mm-hmm.
well. So I thought, yeah, you're right. Because a lot of the people that... that I grew up with lived in the county that I worked in.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up going into that whole situation where in those areas, you're going to take calls from people that you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Do
yeah.
you live and work in the same area?
Well, I grew up in the area that I work for.
Yeah.
I recently bought a house and I live in the county right
Congratulations.
Over. Well, thank you. Thank
Very
you.
Nice.
Yeah, so I live in the county right next to our county. So I'm like 5 minutes down the road from my center.
So you're kind of in the same boat.
In 5 minutes, so I can't imagine 45.
Yeah, it's definitely long.
Yeah, and we have such a small, close-knit community that mm-hmm. a lot of calls you do take that you know exactly who it is you're talking to. It's a family friend. It's actually family. It's a friend, someone you went to school with.
Right.
And that is hard to maintain that professional, like, distance and not let them know, hey, it's me. You know, it's all right. I'm here. Because you don't necessarily want people to know that it's you taking that call.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You walk that fine line of, do I tell them who I am to see if they feel comfortable to continue that? You know,
mm-hmm.
maybe it'll calm them down a little bit knowing that they're talking to someone that they know.
Yeah.
Or are they going to feel embarrassed and not answer my questions?
Exactly.
And then
exactly.
How do we face each other when we see each other the next time?
Exactly.
So I know exactly what you mean and how you feel on that. I've gone through that myself. How about your first call? Do you remember your first call or any of your earlier calls?
I don't really remember my first calls. Honestly, it's kind of, you get so many calls that they all kind of blur together.
Yeah. What about a call that has stuck with you?
Well, I took one call that this old man, he was very upset. He thought his wife wasn't breathing, and I couldn't get him to answer my questions. And then all of a sudden he tells me, "Well, hang on a second. I'm helping her to the bathroom." I was like, "Wait a second. So she's breathing?" Because I just put this out as a cardiac arrest, so I have the fire department and EMS on their way out there. They're, like, at the edge of the county, so they have a 30-minute ETA.
Right, yeah,
and I was
yeah.
Like, so we have our volunteer fireman headed to this call, and now all of a sudden she's miraculously breathing and has to pee.
That is an interesting one for sure.
Yeah, it was great because then he says, well, I can't get her to a breathing machine. I'm like, you can get her to the bathroom, but you can't get her to a breathing machine?
Right. Jeez. You know, I had a call once. It was kind of like that. But the guy who called in, he was an elderly gentleman, and it was a medical, and he said that his wife was having trouble breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can hear her in the background, like gasping for air.
Yeah.
And he starts laughing. And I said, sir, what else is going on? You know, I've got EMS and everybody going as it is. And I said, what is going on there? Why are you laughing? And he goes, just because I can't believe what has happened here. And I said, well, what else has happened? So apparently his wife has a trach. And so she's got a tube in her neck so that she can breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And she was cleaning it out with a wire brush. Yes, with a wire brush.
Oh my goodness!
And he,
not he's, suction, a wire brush.
Right, and he's still chuckling as he's telling me this, and he goes, "Oh, I kept telling her not to do that, not to do it, because of what was going to happen." And I said, "Well, what happened?" So I don't know how she did it, but she broke it in half, so the wire piece of it was stuck in the tube, and that's why she couldn't breathe. And he's chuckling about it. And I thought, oh, my Lord, I can't believe this is going on. So I'm looking through my protocol and stuff to see if there is something in there. Because he goes, should I get some pliers and take it out? And right before I went to answer him, EMS checked out on scene.
Oh,
and I thought,
man.
Oh, thank the Lord. Yes. And I said, sir, EMS is there. And he goes, I see him. And she's just...
Oh,
so, I mean, she's still getting air in there, but you can tell that she's struggling.
Yeah, yeah.
But I couldn't believe this guy. He's just laughing at his wife, just at her misfortune of, I told her not to do it.
Oh man.
Yeah. It's those calls that really help out in 911 dispatch because, you know, the majority of the calls that we take, people aren't calling because they're having a good day.
Yeah. But you're either going to get a really intense call or you're going to get something that they probably didn't need to call 911 for to begin with.
Yeah.
But just something very rarely do you get an intense call that turns into something like that that's not near as bad as it sounded.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I thought that she was going to pass out or something and I was going to have to get her CPR, but no, that her husband is laughing. And I myself, I'm trying to stay as professional as possible because his laugh just sounds funny.
Yeah.
And
we don't expect him to laugh on 911.
Right, yeah. And so I'm kind of biting my lip, too, so that I don't laugh because then, of course, that would probably be the one that gets Q&A'd for quality assurance or something.
Oh,
and then,
of course.
There goes all my points.
Yeah.
Ricardo, we got to bring you in to write you up. Why were you laughing during this medical? Well,
did
I couldn't help
it. Did
you listen the whole thing? Yeah. Did you listen? Did you hear him? those are the calls that really break up the whole thing of 911. So, well, going into the wrap up of this episode, thank you again for being on this. It was really good to get to know you and have you on this episode. But so this time that you've been here, what has your experience been like? What has it meant to you to be here for this, to get that scholarship? And would you recommend other dispatchers to do the same thing?
Well, it's been an amazing experience, honestly. It's not something that someone from our agency would have been able to do without the scholarship. I'm sure a lot of other agencies are the same way. And I definitely recommend anyone and everyone that's like eligible to go apply. It will cover the whole registration fees. So you can be a full conference member, not have to pay a dime out of your pocket for that. Plus, you'll get $1,000 stipend for lodging and travel expenses. So the only money out of your pocket is the food. And, well, I found parking.
Oh, yeah.
You want to check into the parking fees.
Yeah, that is something you got to check out
for that. But, yeah, no, it's been incredible. I was very, very fortunate to have been able to experience this.
Awesome. Well, thank you again very much for being on.
Thank you for meeting with me.
Yes, of course. And this episode, for those listening, is sponsored by Kim Turner LLC. Make sure to check them out for professional dispatch training for the next generation of 911. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as thekimturner.com. We're also sponsored by Rapid SOS. Again, big news coming from them this week with their announcement with Apple on the location accuracy for the iPhone and everything. It's amazing that this is coming out. And me coming from dispatch, and you as well, Morgan, and those listening, you know, we've struggled a lot getting cell phone calls and probably feeling like me, helpless when you don't have a good location when they're calling on a cell phone. And now with the work that they're doing, it's going to help out a lot. It's going to help save lives in the future. So amazing news coming out there. Make sure to check out RapidSOS on Facebook, Twitter, as well as RapidSOS.com. And as always, this episode is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. If you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's WTTpodcast@gmail.com. There's so much shit I have to say at the end of this. And you can follow us on Twitter. That's @911podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. You're making me laugh. It's all good. We always laugh. If I'm sitting next to Rob, I'll be saying all this stuff, and he goes like this, like a conductor, like he's conducting me going, yeah, or he'll look at his hilarious. He'll look at his watch, and I'm like, dude, shut up, man. I gotta say all this stuff.
I'm a horn band geek, so I totally get that.
So am I. Yeah, I always as well. We'll get to that after this part. But you can listen to this 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, as well as SoundCloud, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and thejabberlog.com. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to WTTpodcast@gmail.com.